What's the password?
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Welcome in to the To The Point Home Services VIP room, where we invite you, the listeners in, to hang alongside some of the biggest, baddest, and most successful VIPs of the home services industries. You never know which surprise guest will show up next. So let's get this party started.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, and this is the first episode in the To The Point Home Services VIP room. That's right. I said VIP room with my friends. And guess what? You, the listener, are also the VIP. And we are welcoming you into our circle, into our conversations with our guests, with our whoever randomly pops into this episode. They'll be a part of it, too. You never know. But today, the familiar face of Chad Peterman is on the screen. My co-host now for a while, who makes, let's say, 80% of the podcast episodes. So we really appreciate your effort, Chad. The good news is our newest co-host that we thought, hey, let's add a third to this, you know, this podcast. So that way we've got another, you know, personality, another good friend of ours. And I'll be damned if you didn't miss the first one. Aaron Gaynor missed the first one. So we have Mr. Goodrich filling in as our guest co-host today for us, which I'm sure he'll be on here plenty. And so, KG, it's always good to have you on here. And I'm excited, guys, for this new style. It's kind of a little bit more free, right? Like, I don't have any constraints. I got full creative control of this thing. So I'm just going to let it rip. Okay?
Can we cuss?
Ken, how well you know me? You think it's going to be okay?
Just check him.
Yeah, I think we're going to be just fine. But the fun of this whole thing is, I don't know if I was telling you guys this before, back in Indiana where I'm from, we used to listen to this show called Bob and Tom. So Bob and Tom show in the morning. And I always loved it because you had the same main characters. You got Bob, you got Tom, you have Chick and Christy Lee, which are some other, like, but they're the main hosts on the show. And you never know which guest is going to pop in. It's always kind of fun for the listener to hear those things too. And kind of stuck in the back of my mind. And by the way, Chad, I was listening to Pat McAfee talking about how Bob Kavoyan from Bob and Tom was the inspiration behind him going out in the zone and starting his own podcast. Well, that shit worked out well for him. And I love the vibe of that podcast. So, like, the Barstool Sports type stuff. So I'm going to see if we can attempt that in this home services space. But this is number one. And our friend Jason Hansen, Captain Jason Hansen, Marine Corps guy, Semper Fi, is on the other end with us. He gets to be the first target of the VI. Jason, you are the first guest into the To The Point Home Services VIP room from Sierra Pacific up in Sacktown, just about, 10 miles away or so from Folsom Prison?
Yeah, really close. Close enough, yeah.
That's where he gets his technicians. It's going to be a cool story. but welcome to the podcast, brother. Excited to have you on here.
Yeah, thank you. It's fun to forge new ground. Like I said, being in new territory with all of you at the same time. So seeing you with this program for a while, and now here it is. I'm on the first show of the new format. It's awesome.
Yeah, man, we're gonna have fun. So Jason and I've actually run into each other over the past month, like probably a couple different times at I think it was a Linux Live meeting, and then also last week over in why there's a group of contractors sitting over in Beverly Hills made no sense, but we were there. And there's about 12 or so people in there. I think most are all independent still in that 20 to 50 million range. It was a great group of guys you guys have over there, and Rusty invited me over, and so it's good to see you there. I just thought I'd like to start bringing some more people on the podcast that, you know, you, KG, you and Chad both know, like, we hear this for the same people so many times over all these years now that it's nice to try and get some new, you know, some new guys in here. And, you know, and Jason's got a great size business. I think he finished last year around 27 million or something like that, I think is what you sent me. And he's going to, with the plan to hit 32 this year. Now he's multi-trade, HVAC, plumbing, electrical, the solar. I even saw pool equipment and shit on the site. So I'll be interested to hear what you're doing with all that stuff, but, and still independent, still doing his thing. And I'll tell you, even when we were together last week, you know, he's definitely one of those guys that will challenge you. Right? Like, he's not a yes man. He's certainly going to challenge you in your theory. And he's going to make you prove it. And I've always respect that about Jason. So Guys, I'm excited to just kind of hear what you're doing, man. Like, is independent the game that you want to stay in? You know, all these things. But first, what I want the listeners to do is I kind of threw out, you know, the size of the business, Jay. But, like, maybe just – I think the company started in 84. Is it 84? Is that when it was? Okay. So, Chad, you were what? Two?
No, I wasn't born yet.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. 86 was the year, my man. Yeah, big 40 this year. You got to watch out. Getting up there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, sorry, Ken. Sorry, we got Grandpa on here. You got to be careful.
You know what happens at 40 at the doctor?
didn't happen for me at 40 at the doctor, but I know it's coming up. My birthday's tomorrow, guys. I will be 47.
Oh, wow.
No kidding. Well, happy early birthday. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, hey, let's do this real quick, Jason. So maybe just kind of talk about for our listeners so they kind of understand. I did mention you were a Marine, you know, you're always a Marine, sorry. And I can imagine when I first started, you know, prepping for this podcast and you thinking about leadership would be too easy to go down that path with you. Like that probably comes natural to you. But I want to talk some about the actual operations of the business. But ultimately, I just want to understand like what you're kind of your come up in with Sierra Pacific and then get into some of the questions. So maybe just share with our listeners a little bit of the Cliff Notes version of like your journey.
Yeah. So a different journey for Sierra Pacific. It started in 84 as a solar pool heating, solar water heating company. So there you go. That's probably a first ever, right? Just the origin of that is in the late 70s, early 80s, California had a big solar initiative going on, and that shut down pretty quickly overnight. And the founder of Sierra Pacific, a great businessman, great entrepreneur, great marketer, great salesman by the name of Mike Daly, the company that he was working for, kind of a regional, was shutting down. And so he basically acquired the assets, some trucks and a customer base and said, oh, I got to go to work. I got to figure out what to do. So he basically just started Sierra Pacific here out of the ashes of that other company and started doing, you know, pool heating and water heating service. And he was great, great businessman. And he saw an opportunity to diversify. So he got into heating and air a few years later and just really just built a great business. And so over the 20 some years that he owned it, it diversified and grew its HVAC business and grew one of the first grid-tied solar electric companies. And I actually met the business because my origin into the industry, I came out of the Marine Corps kind of later in my adult life and went into service experts at the time, service experts in the Bay Area, started at Comerford Service Experts and then made my way into Lennox Industries. And then I was basically Sierra Pacific was my account. And he became more of a coach and a mentor to me. And at one point he just said, look, I'm getting too long in the tooth to keep in this game. And this company's ready to go to another level. I'd like to see somebody like you to keep my people together. Because at that point, the company had been about 2 decades. And there are a lot of people that have been with him since nearly the beginning or a long time. And well-built, well-run company. And so I mortgaged everything I had and a bunch that I didn't to acquire the company from him in March of 2007. And at that time we were mostly a solar company. So I had to go to work to learn the solar business. And I had the privilege that, again, it was a well-built row, you know, running well company. And I just could take some time in that first year to really learn another piece of the business, learn the people, and then go to work on growing the HVAC side. And then, of course, out of the blue and, you know, fourth quarter 2008, the financial crisis hit. So it kind of just changed everything for us overnight. But since that time, we've worked on diversifying the business, really taking advantage of our clientele that we have a great relationship with on memberships and regular service, and diversify into now plumbing, electrical. And yes, we still do, you know, solar, electric and battery, but that pool heating business is one of those little core pieces of our business that is a niche, but so wonderful for us. So it's basically a rooftop plumbing business. It's really what it comes down to. So, you know, there's the thumbnail for Sierra Pacific.
I don't know that if anybody that I've heard of, I don't know about you guys, but that's done pool equipment in addition to the Holy Trinity of the trades. I don't know that that's something I've ever heard before. So you came in at what?
You do the equipment, all the equipment, or just the heater?
No, we'll do the, so we do the rooftop solar collectors. You see those polymer collectors, you know, not the P, we do the PV panels, but solar pool heating is a different technology. They got those different, yeah, you know, people think they're plastic and call them plastic collectors, but we do those. But along with that, because we touch so many equipment pads, we do a lot of controls and telecenters, you know, filters, heaters, things like that. You know, the equipment pad is a gold mine. I love, and a lot of the pool industry doesn't really know how to treat that part of the business. So we just, it's a niche. I wouldn't recommend it to everybody to get into. I mean, you'd have to find a, like in my market, there's only three companies that can survive doing it year round. It's not a very big, and I have over 50% of the market share just in Sacramento because the other two companies can't really keep it. But it's a unique business. It really is.
So that's interesting. I like that business. And actually, there's a couple of roll-ups going in on that right now. So you got something valuable there.
Yes, sir, it is. A lot of money in the pool.
Now we know where the reformed folks from down the street are coming to work, and that's on the solar side of the business because that would make the most sense. You know what? That's not very nice, but it's my joke. By the way, on the previous episode, I was wearing my Johnny Cash shirt, which, you know, maybe that's just a coincidence. But okay,
I thought it was a coincidence that we're all three of us are all wearing all black. Like, what a great way to start this new thing.
I missed the memo.
I know. Gosh.
We needed a little contrast. So thank you, Jason.
Hey, before we get started too much, can I tell you quick? You're in Sacramento, right?
Right.
So let me tell you a little Sacramento story, because I think this is good for everybody to listen to and you to understand the opportunities out there. Okay. In 2009, you know, the Great Recession, I picked up the phone and I called the CEO of Goodman and I said, hey, I bet that big company out there, Butler, owes you a whole bunch of money. And don't they? And he said, how'd you guess? And this was during the Great Recession, and Butler was the largest residential new construction company, HVAC new construction company in America. We did over $200 million back then. And I said, well, hey, if you get me in front of the CEO and let me talk to him about buying the service business out of that company and form my own service company there, I'll get you some money for the bill. So he brokers a meeting. I go down there. Long story short, I bought the name, telephone number, URL of Butler, which was a, I don't know, 70-year-old brand at the time, largest residential new construction company, like I said, in the whole region or in the country, but certainly they own the region. And they had installed over 6,000 systems, and they had their name on every thermostat. So during due diligence, I bought 30 trucks. I staffed them. I trained the people. At that time, we were using SuccessWare. I got that implemented, trained, got an office. We closed the deal. We transferred the phones. First year, we did $27 million. Buying that database, phone number, and URL. Because, you know, they had so much installation in that whole area. And I don't know where they are today. It got sold to ARS, but... you know, there's lots of opportunities to go there and be creative to go buy databases from new construction companies and such in that region because it grows so fast. Are they still around?
Oh yeah, they are. They're not as formidable as they were when you were around here, but
none of them usually are.
Well, let me ask you this question, Jason. Now that we had a history lesson from Grandpa Goodrich.
Think about that. Like, you know, guys, you should think about that methodology. It's still available.
Now, I know. Actually, I just had this conversation with another player down in Georgia. It was not John, Jason. But they have like 80,000 contacts, like contact information from their new new build, like their new construction business, 80,000. contacts, but they're not using that, not doing anything with.
Oh god,
just collecting it. 80,000. I was like, holy shit. So anyway, but I mean, they're obviously doing heavy, and now they're trying to work into the residential, the service add-on replacement space more, and wean themselves off of new construction. I'm like, well, 80,000 contacts. It's a pretty way, to start.
Yeah,
some of it. Hey, Jason, do you get, because you have like a, you have the solar side of it, when you have maintenance agreements, are all the services rolled into that? I mean, I don't know how it works with pool stuff, because not every house has pools, but like, how are you leveraged? Are you trying to leverage all these services into the maintenance agreement option?
Yes, absolutely. So the neat thing about solar pool heating business in Sacramento, particularly, it doesn't work this way in all climates, but because of our weather variations, when we come to spring, these systems need to be started up. So there's a startup service. And then in winter, we winterize and we drain them down, and there's some service work to be done there. So there's a built-in service business there. And, you know, the great thing about working with pool owners, you know, just think about the typical demographic of a single family home that has a pool. I mean, you just have a certain level of income. There's just another thing that's there, right? So our demographic tends to be of a higher income, tends to have a better profile for us. So they own a home, they own a pool, they have, you know, they have all the home services needs. They probably are paying for some sort of a pool service. Now, I don't do filter, you know, I don't do the maintenance thing. I'm not the chemical guy or any of that. That's a separate trade, and I don't plan to try to compete with that. But the solar pool startup and shutdown business is really good for us, because it puts us back on that house at least twice a year, and then allows us to leverage that relationship over no other services. So our membership plans, we do have dual plans. So we'll take our solar pool membership plan, and we basically really leverage hard and give the HVAC membership really discounted rate versus an HVAC alone. And so, yeah, the whole point there is like, I want to put a moat around that house, and I don't want anybody that does plumbing, electrical, heating, and air to get anywhere close to the services for that home if I can help it. So, and then we'll extend whatever our membership discounts are for heating and air. We'll extend that into our plumbing and electrical services to, you know, just to entice and just make that client feel so much value for one call to do it all. So that's a key part of it. And of course, I've learned that from others. And just, you know, everything I do is just finding out what's working for others and then taking it and applying it to the Sierra Pacific brand and, you know, maybe tweaking it from here to there just to make it work for us. But well, that's not an amazing concept. It's brilliant, but it's, you know, it's well used. And I'm just, you know, robbing and duplicating what works with others.
Jason, one question. It seems like you've added, you know, since you took over, 20-ish years ago, you've added trades along the way. You started with the pool heater and then added HVAC, plumbing, electrical. What are some of the lessons you would say you learned from adding trades? I feel like I have like a role. I have like a notebook on each trade we added and all of the pitfalls of doing that. Like what are some of the things you could share that you ran into as you were adding those trades?
Yeah, I think the first one is you have to have the right people, the right talent that will grow, lead that trade and be focused on it. So I have false started in windows. I acquired the building from the founder of Sierra Pacific. So first I acquired his company, then I acquired his building. He complains to me all the time and says, "You took everything I got." And so I didn't take everything. He got a fortune for it. But in the building, there was another tenant. And as I was growing, I eventually pulled the tenant like, "Hey, your lease is coming up and you need to move out. And I got to grow into it." And he's like, "Well, you know, how'd you like to buy it? We do windows and doors." And I'm like, "Well, that seems like a good fit. Yeah, let's try to do that." And so I brought it over, and it just false started because I didn't have the right people to drive that. I'm not a windows guy, and I didn't bring the right people in. So that was, you know, that I learned my lesson on that one right there. We just couldn't get traction on it without the right people there. So that was, I think that's the first one, is if you're going to do it, you got to be dedicated to it. You got to treat it like it's your only business, even though you have diversified businesses. My thought on that is like, okay, the opportunity is that you can diversify. The challenge is that you diversify. You like your strength and your weakness hit you all at once. And if you don't treat each of those trades, those disciplines, as if it's the only thing you do, it'll be hard to succeed no matter all the other things. You got brand going for you, you got client loyalty, you got all that going for you. But if you can't go out and deliver and execute as if it's the only thing you do, then it seems to lose momentum. That's probably my biggest lesson there is having the right people and then treat it like it's the only thing you do.
Well, we have another guest popped in here. Our first guest, Mr. Thomas Mello. Tommy, welcome in here, buddy. I got Jason Hansen from Sierra Pacific up in Sacramento on as our guest.
Jason, today. Pleasure to meet you, brother. It's got the back half of pool heaters to HVAC to plumbing to electrical. I love it.
By the way, I'm glad you got the memo, black shirt today.
Yeah.
Me.
It's okay. At least I don't know on your guys' screen, but on mine, Jason's like dead center at the top in the red. So he stands out like Rudolph's nose. Well, we were just kind of getting into a little bit, Tommy, to get you up about, because he has all these different services, how he's rolling into maintenance agreements and different things like that. Grandpa Goodrich shared a story about a deal he did in Sacramento. So, hey, real quick, Jason, I want to just ask. So I know I kind of joked a little bit earlier about, you know, when I was prepping for the podcast, talking about leadership because of your, you know, Marine experience and being a leader in the Marine and what you learned just from being a Marine. You were a captain, right, in the Marine Corps.
I finished as a major, but I got out as a captain and picked up major in my reserve time. So I got out as a captain and finished out as a major.
But safe to say leadership's probably a core strength of yours. Is that fair?
I won't brag, but I think I can handle people.
Okay. But I actually want to kind of shift gears off of that into more of the operator side of the operation side of things. And it's a question that I kind of like to ask out of the gate. And I had a similar conversation with Anna, with my wife, last week about a totally different topic, but it was around being operator because she's a great operator. But is there what hill are you willing to die on? As an operator, is that what you're? Well, like, let me take a step back. What is your main? What is your main role today? Like, which part are you? I am not an operator. I'm a sales and marketing guy. Where are you falling in that world?
I'm primarily a marketing and sales.
Okay,
that's my main, and I enjoy that the most. I can tell you, I was trained by operators. I came up when I came out of the Marine Corps. I went to work for Kevin Comerford and Ray Deals. And I learned operations and sales and marketing, and I learned all from the ground up in there. And so that's how I matriculated up in the business. And I ultimately just have found my favorite part of the business is marketing and sales. But being, I just have an appreciation for disciplined operations, for teams that just execute really tightly, you know. And so I always loved that part, but I worked hard to like stay in my lane on the sales and marketing.
Well, you're talking these guys' language around the discipline, around systems, processes, all that fun stuff. But you're more like me, buddy. I'm on the sales and marketing side. I guess Tommy's on that side as well.
So, Chris, I got it. Go ahead, Tim.
So you're at 27 million, you said?
Yes.
So what's the goal?
We're going to shoot for 32 this year and then, you know, keep building every year.
Any long-term goal?
Well, Ken, we had a call, I don't know, maybe it was six or 8 weeks ago about generator marketing. You asked me about that, and I said, I like what I do. I like my lifestyle right now. It's a lifestyle business, and so I'm going to keep doing it for a while. My kids are grown and out of the house, so they live in Texas now, so they're pretty far away. My wife and I enjoy our lifestyle, so I'm not really ready to give that up. So we just keep we like what we do. We like our purpose. We like our team around us. You know, I've had some of these conversations. I know I've had this conversation with Chris about just like the sense of purpose that I have right now. I am, you know, I'm the second owner of the business, and I expect this business to be an enduring business. My purpose is to ensure it has a fortress level balance sheet and it'll endure long after I'm well into the grave. So right now in my custody, it's a matter of taking care of my team, and I enjoy the people I work with, and that gives me a reward every day. So I don't have a problem like doing what I'm doing. I don't have a problem coming in and working with service techs and installers and sales teams and just working with the team and doing the daily huddle. So I'm not ready to give this lifestyle up. And I've got friends like, you know, Rusty Cochran and others that, you know, they've matriculated through different places in the industry. And I've watched that happen for me. And I'm like, yeah, I like where I'm at right now. I think I'll just stay, you know, doing what I'm doing. I don't have grandkids yet. And I don't like that much golf. And, you know, kind of list goes on. So I like seeing where the business is going. And I'm just going to keep doing it for a bit.
Yeah, you know, I think that's really important. The listeners to hear is you don't have to sell, right? There's absolutely nothing wrong with building a very well-ran organization with a management team, especially if you aspire to say, I'm going to build a management team and come meet with them on ops meetings once a month and make sure they're heading the right direction and live off the cash flow. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And you build it with the ability to sell it in mind, to be able to exit in when it's most opportune or most opportune for you. And that's with having a management team in place. Somebody else can step in your place as an owner with a team operating for you. That will drive the maximum value. But, you know, I talked to so many guys that believe now because all the sales stuff's been going on that they have to build a sell. You don't have to build a sell. There's nothing wrong. And in many cases, I think, you can build a better life and a better lifestyle by creating a cash flow machine, getting that one going, and maybe working on another one later and having several of those going on. If you've figured out the art of that.
Yeah. I see it out there too. I think there's a lot of these guys that have this FOMO. They've seen the success that others have had. And they're like, oh, I got to get in. And I just don't have that. It's not in my vision right now. The way I feel about it is if you build a good business, this business will be valuable whenever the time comes for me. And I'm just not in that spot right now where I have other things that I would, you know, enjoy doing more, feel more reward doing. I just feel like I have a purpose here still. One of the things we didn't really get into it. When I acquired the business it was in its, you know, 22nd year, maybe. But there had been a lot of people with the business, key operators, managers that, you know, I essentially acquired, but they became loyal to me and they helped me. And I was very, very successful with them. And one of the things that I was very proud to do is help them retire. I had people retire from this company. Two people retired after 36 years with the company, 34 years, 33, 31, 29, 28, 27 years with the company. And to be able to be able to tell people like, hey, in the home services business, you can retire and have done really, really well for yourself in the home services business. And I've been able to do it. And I love that. I love that part of our story. I use it to recruit with. I'm proud of that legacy. And I want to do more of that. I want to see that happen to other people. So I keep working that hard to help others get there. And I have people that I think deserve it, and they're working hard for it, and I want to see them accomplish it.
Yeah, here's my bet. My bet that the majority of companies that sold over the last, you know, 7-10 years in this latest PE fervor sold because they hated it. They sold because they didn't have a good solid business system in place, and they were, you know, overworked and overburdened and overstressed. And it was a gift from God that showed up one day and gave them a big check and relieved them from that. But they really didn't have a well-oiled machine, a business system in place. That's my bet.
Yeah, well, I would say so too, but here I am. I'm looking at the screen, and here's four goats. And you guys are amazing in your own businesses, and so you guys have all done this and lived this. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I definitely think, in my mind, you have to have a happy warrior mindset. You guys obviously do. Like you're good with the fight. Like showing up and running these businesses and leading people is not something that you just delegate out and not carry some burden. Leadership has a burden. Leadership is heavy. And, having that, you have to love it and you have to love the fight, whatever it is. Like it's work to do those things. I just don't shy away from it. I like the work of leadership. And I think that there's people just like I do see some people where if battle fatigue or they just didn't like it and they were having trouble, they didn't have the right systems and processes in place, where they didn't have the right people. And something happens in the business, it's not going as well as it was once going, and then they get defeated by it, or they just get tired and they're like, hey, I'm gonna shoot out. So I see that happen. I also see some great people who run great businesses and they turn around and they exit and they turn right back around and do the same thing all over again. And I think that's because they're a happy warrior. They just like they're good for suiting up, booting up and going to battle. And I think that's like you like it or not.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. I'm going to quit talking for a bit, but I'd say this one thing to this point. I found that you got to get to the place where the creation of the business becomes your art. And so it's not work anymore. It becomes your art. And you're taking chances and experimenting with new things to make your art better. Once you get to that place, that's when the flywheel really starts to turn and you start to scale extremely fast. But if you don't have that system in place, it'll never be your art. It'll be a. What do you think, Tommy?
Well, you called me up one day and you said, I think you need to do a deal. And I said, why do you say that, Ken? And you said, well, you'll be at the highest multiple ever been done in the home service industry, one of them. You said you're going to learn how to do a proper board meeting, because right now you were on my board and we didn't have really good board meetings. They were kind of, you were like, this is not the right way to run a board meeting. You said you're going to have to learn how to leverage capital. You're going to need to learn how to build the right weekly deck. And once you get access to capital, if all that's done correctly, you'll be able to scale at 10 times faster speed. And you said, for you, I think this is the best move. Plus your parents, I don't know if you mentioned this, but this is something big for me. My parents had just turned 70 and I had enough money to pay for a vacation, but not enough to really let them live their best lives. So I had a bunch of different things that I wanted to do. And now we have the best weekly meetings, the best board meetings. We got access to capital. We 4.5x the business in 3.5 years. And I'm ready for another ride. And, my goal was never to move slowly. And then, by the way, it's not easy to run at this pace. A lot of people, a lot of LPs are depending on us, teacher funds and unions and pension funds and sovereign wealth and all kinds of stuff. So it's bigger stakes and it's definitely not easy for everybody on the team, because we moved somewhat fast before, but now we've got to run. Like, we've got to pivot in the middle of a month and move dollars around and actually have the top guys running calls and make sure we're advancing our training. And if there's one system broken, it gets all the attention. You got to ruthlessly prioritize. Can't run it like I used to run it when I had full control, because now there's a lot more people at stake. There's people that have P units that are depending on that to change their generational tree or their family tree. It's just a lot more at stake. And I wasn't sure if I was going to love it, but I've kind of learned to love it.
So I was right.
You were right.
You got that one in.
Okay, I think what we've uncovered here is there's multiple ways to do this, right? Like, I think even on here with just a group of us, there's differences in how we did our deals or no deal, right, at all. And I do think it's okay. I talked to another guy last week who's doing the same thing, Jason, where he built this well-oiled machine, and he's like, I don't have an interest, you know, because of his age. Like Tommy wanted to do this because of his parents' age, where he could do, you know, have no limitations on anything. And that's fine. That's his decision, what he wanted to do, how he wanted to live his life. And that's how you should make your decision, right? You know, Chad did something differently because he still has some runway in front of him. He wants to go accomplish some more things, and he's doing a deal that his way. I exited 100% and stayed in it and ran it for somebody else and realized that's probably not for me. So I'm going to go do my own thing. But I'd probably fall into the category of I do like going. I love startup. I like going and doing the hard work. I like building the thing. I don't want to operate it. I just want to build it. And go and do the sales and the marketing and the attention and all those, like, that's the stuff I enjoy doing. And so I'm grateful I still did it because it did put me in different circles for different opportunities, especially with all these guys on here, to go and have fun with my buddies, but still be able to try and run a business, to each their own, I think is the point. And I think Ken gave Tommy the best advice for what Tommy wanted to do. And I think, cause Chad, you guys, well, Chad and I guess all of us on here, with the exception of Jason, will know when you start talking about all these deals are happening, it certainly is easy to get caught up in that. Like when we're hearing all of our friends, everybody's trying to think about doing these deals back in like 21, 22, 23, like certainly easy to get wrapped up in that when you're hearing the numbers that these guys are getting, and it might take you out of what you thought you wanted to do with the business because it's a big check. And, you know, Chad could have done something much earlier, but it didn't. You know, and now we had time to let all that stuff settle. It's like, well, what do we really want to do now that's not, like, you know, the money's going to be there when you're ready to do it, is the point. So I don't want the listeners to be on here thinking like, you know, it is what you want it to be. I think the option is yours, right? That's what I'm hearing on here, is the option is yours to build this and be whatever you want. Now, Jason, you got a good business. You're in a great market, and you do multi-trade. And if you were to ever layer into something else, you know, like layer in another thing, is it something that you could roll into your service, you know, your maintenance agreement that would help it, you know, scale that service line a little bit faster too? Because Chad and I were talking about greenfielding versus just buying a small little mom and pop that's already got a book of business. So that way on day one, we're not just sitting there twiddling our thumbs, you know, he's not twiddling his thumb trying to figure out where the lead's going to come from. He's already got a book to start going and running. I know Ken loves working the lists. So, you just got to, I think.
Well, here's one thing though. Let me just point out one thing is 24 millionaires came out of the first deal and they busted their ass for it. Every employee right now gets treated as a W-2, including myself. That means they pay ordinary income, which is somewhere between 40 and 50%. Some states it'll run up to 55%. There's no way around that. So when the equity check comes, it's treated as capital gains. That's how your team could get true wealth. So depending on what the plan is, for me, it was on this next deal, I want 50 more millionaires, and a lot of guys are getting 500 grand. So for me, it was like, how could I make the most impact for the people that helped me grow the company? Now, yes, along the way, some guys get big-ass bonuses. I don't know any way to pay that in capital gains, though. So for me, it was like, man, if I'm going to make this team run, and they're going to put their heart and soul into this, and their families, I try to create a fair work-life balance, but some of these guys put in 60 hours a week when we have big goals to hit, is like they started asking, well, when's my turn? Do I get to actually bring home the money and get paid at 23%, or am I always going to – you could pay me $1 million, but half of that's going to the government. So there is some other good things that come out of that enterprise value when it turns. And I'm not saying that should be everybody's full intent, but if you're really going to change the lives of the people that work for you, there's got to be a date to where everybody's running towards a goal, and at least in my point of view. And I'm not saying, look, grow the company, keep doing what you're doing. But eventually when you hit that date and you say, guys, if we hit this number, then everyone's going to get paid. I think that actually moves faster. But I don't think that should be the only consideration to growth.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard you and others talk about that before. And to your point, like, yeah, I can see there will be a time, you know, conditions change, situations change, new information. Maybe I'll make a new decision and with that, and then set a target and set that for this team. That's a future, but it's just
everybody. Ken's called me up and talked to me about this, and Chad knows this, and Chris has been through this. Is the talent race is hard out there. We need a lot of people to come in to the trades. I think we're missing about 350,000 people. And if somebody's got a shinier object, and I hate to say this, because it should be more than just the money. It should be culture. It should be a lot more things. But a lot of people now want their cake and they want to eat it too. They want both. They want the high salary with bonus and they want equity. And there's a lot of options out there. There's not as much talent as is what's needed. A lot of people are coming into the trades, but not near enough. And so, like, I've been having these conversations of like, wait a minute, they offer you what to leave? You know, and it's tough. And it, look, I think I've got a lot of loyalty and they give me the second look at it. And it's like, what am I supposed to say? Don't leave because I've always treated you right. Well, a lot of places treat their people right.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Have you lost anybody, Jason, to private equity money? You know, guys saying they'll throw PI units or equity at your employees?
So, no, not. I have not, and that's a. I'm in a good spot in that area. There was a period of time where at the technician level, there was a real battle out there for that. And we were in the mix on the fight on that. And that hurt first time, and that one really hurt. But not at the leadership level like that. So I've been pretty good at that level, and I feel fortunate at that standpoint. I work hard at that. To Tommy's point, like, you know, there's times where it's just like, hey, you know, some people are looking for another thing, and you know, I hug and release and like go for it. And then, but if you're looking for a certain thing, you know, we have our own, we're our own, you know, we got our spots, they got stripes. If you like spots, this is a great place for you. This is what we do. We have a certain lifestyle here. We have a certain culture. If you like that culture, you know, I have a leadership style. If you like my leadership style versus that style, you know, I'm just going to win on that level right there. Cause I'm not in that phase right now where I do have a second bite at the apple for people to consider. And there'll come a point in time where I'm sure that that's going to work out for me, but I'm not prepared. I don't want to throw that out there yet. Cause that's not where I don't have a destined timeline on that. Like, okay, here's where I want to get to. So as I mentioned earlier, I'm enjoying my lifestyle and what we're doing right now. And I'm staying in that phase until I'm ready to get out of that phase. And then I'll lay down the tracks for that.
You know, last thing, I got to jump off in a minute, but I had Cameron Harold. We worked with him for a while. He's a really cool guy. He's speaking on the vertical track.
COO of 1-800 Got Junk, is that right?
Yeah, he was his COO, and he's been through 1-800 Got Junk and College Hunks Painting and just worked with a lot of companies. And he told me, he goes, Tommy, what do you love to do? He goes, this is a question I ask a lot of people. And I go, Cameron, you're not going to like my answer. I like marketing. I like to figure out conversion rates. I like to hire. I like to do orientations. He's like, he told me to basically F off. He's like, that's work. He's like, what'd you like to do when you were 14? He's like, do you like to bowl? Do you like to go skiing? Do you like to go on water and go boating? Do you like to fish? He's like, dude, he's like, your life cannot be. He goes, I don't have a house anymore. He goes, and this is probably too much for you to ever consider, but I travel. I was in Europe last week. I'm back in Canada. I'm with you in Paradise Valley right now. He goes, too many of us equate success to only work. And, you know, I'm probably the only one on here without kids. And I'm planning on moving into that opportunity next year or possibly 2028. But the point is that was a wake up call too, is like, you know, start to build stuff outside of work, start to not have my complete fun tied into work. Although I like to grow stuff, I want to leave a legacy of a business, and I want my kids to know dad still works. But it really meant a lot to me to think, man, there are a lot of things I love to do that I haven't been able to do. And I'm not going to golf every week, and I'm definitely not going to be at the beach every week, and I'm not going to be traveling to Europe every week. But I know there's one thing. I mean, the average person lives to be 76, 77 years old. The parents, you know, theoretically have a few more years, and I can't buy the time back. So for me, it's definitely looking myself in the mirror and saying, what's the most important things, and really meaning it, and saying, you know, if I could create success for a lot of people that have helped me come win on this mountain, that's going to be big. But I better get serious about what I love to do, and it can't only be work. And start to put more times into pastimes and things that'll keep me happy, and stories that'll be like, I remember going on that hike with my best friends. And so that was a tough conversation he had with me that kind of was a wake-up call this past year.
What do you love to do, Tommy?
I love to hopefully drive the Standcraft. I like spending time with Bree. We're going on a date night every week now. Everybody I've talked to said, you don't even know how much of a miracle. You're excited about kids, but your life will be 10 times more purposeful and purpose-driven with kids. To watch these little guys come out where you have no idea how they act and who they got their personality traits and the funniest stories. So that's a big one for me, is just making sure I'm the best dad. But the Standcraft is going to be fun. I definitely want to go fishing. You know, I love to shoot pool. I love to go to my dad's house and shoot. If I could shoot 30 games in a row, I would. Usually we do a race to 10 and 8 ball. But, you know, I love to bowl. You know, I love to play golden tee. I love to entertain. But I love to try new food, but I don't like to be there all night because I like to do stuff. I like to play cards. You know that. But the point is, I want a better answer. And I think we all should have a better answer of, this is like the top 20 things that are non-negotiable that I love to do that I'm going to make time for.
That's a great question. I also think that if what's important to you, Tommy, and all of you, is creating those opportunities for others, but not having to sell, then maybe a good incentive is an EIP option. An equity incentive program, which I think I've talked to both Chell and Tommy about at some point. Actually, Tommy, I think maybe even one of your guys was helping build that, or Chad. I can't remember. One of you two guys was helping me when I was trying to figure that stuff out, an EIP program.
But well, profit sharing is different. Profit sharing is different than equity incentive. An EIP program is fine up stock. It doesn't actually equate to anything until the company changes control. So it'll vest over 5 years based on time and usually some performance metrics. But EIP is perfect. But here's the deal. EIP doesn't matter to anybody if there's no deadline or goal.
True.
I mean, hey, I want to give you 20% of the company because you've been loyal for me for 15 years. Hey, when's that going to come to fruition? Well, we're not sure yet.
Yeah, I got you. Good point.
Hey, Jason, let me ask you this. So you bought this solar heating business, right? What else did they do?
At the time, it had a small piece of heating and air.
Okay. So you knew that from your experience with Comerford. And did you learn plumbing when you were with Comerford?
Nope.
Okay. Now, what was your next trade?
My next trade, I had to learn the solar pool and solar electric when I came. I took and grew the heating and air business. I think the next trade I really have learned, I learned water treatment, water softeners. We had always done water heaters, but then we just had this entry into water treatment, water softeners. And I think going back to one of Chad's questions, I was able to hire on a plumber as a good plumbing operator, and he was a blessing. And he took water treatment and has expanded out into plumbing. And so that's really the next best diversification we really did is just and that's got some of our biggest upside potential is grow our plumbing business. I'm really excited about that. In fact, I like to tell people I'm a plumber now, and mostly just for the fun of the response. You know, depends on where we are. We might be in Beverly Hills at the Polo Club, and you know, people ask, "What do you do?" And we're like, "I'm a plumber." I like that.
Hey, listen. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of guys do that, but I've always counseled guys to do that. I always tell them, look, you get these guys are doing $2-3 million, and like, oh, now I brought on a plumber, I'm going to start my plumbing department. And you know, in my E-Myth book that I wrote with Gerber, I said I wouldn't try another trade unless you're one, two, or three in the first trade you started. Then you add on the other one from there.
I agree with you.
But if I always said that the HVAC guy should own the water softener, the water conditioning system, and the water heater, right? We should own that as part of our service. And that would be the entree into eventually starting your plumbing business rather than just jumping in. Because what I learned from starting plumbing was, plumbing is a lot more complicated than most people think. Most people think, oh, you know, we got, you know, same tool, similar tools, a van, this and that. It's the same thing. It's not the same thing. But the way you started is a very sharp, sophisticated way to do it. Good job.
Yeah. Ken, I wish I would have talked to you 10 years ago. That would have made things a hell of a lot easier.
Wow. Hey, Jason, pleasure to meet you. I love you guys. I appreciate the time today. Chris, this is great. I like the new format.
All right, we'll see you guys. I know Chad's got to go. He's got to go take Blake.
Thank you.
Yeah, Tommy. Well, listen, Jason, I'm not sure if I actually got a lot accomplished or not, but I think that I got through one question of all of mine, and that's okay.
I got time.
We couldn't get Chad to shut up. but anyhow, like I said, you know, I think this kind of went the way I hope it would go. Is it's just a normal, free-flowing conversation that's kind of unscripted. Now I have like my own genuine curiosity on questions, and Ken always does too. Chad does, Tommy does, and it just kind of comes out. That's like a normal conversation with all of us, right? Like, and that's kind of how I hoped it would go. And actually, what I thought would be nice, I thought about doing towards the end of these things moving forward is, you're sitting, you know, in the VIP room as a guest as well with people who can certainly answer some questions that you have, like whatever you're being hung up now as a challenge is now. And you have the opportunity to ask, you know, a Ken or a Chad or, you know, anybody who's in there who's, you know, much larger than you guys. You have a free reign to ask them a question on here too that pops up. Like, I want it to be kind of that, you know, that vibe where it's just no different than all of us sitting in a room, you know, chit chatting. So, but we kind of went down a few different paths that I thought that was helpful. And, you know, Chad, I think you only got cut off, you know, a couple times. That's going to be the hardest thing to manage in this style is the overlap of everybody talking. Like, Chad and I have a pretty good cadence. Ken and I have a pretty good cadence of when to go. Tommy has Aaron's the worst at it. So he's going to be the hardest one for us to dial in. He is the worst at talking over people. So I'll have to get him dialed in. But we appreciate you coming on and being the first one. I hate to cut it short, guys, but I know Chad's got to go too, and I want to be respectful of everybody's time. But, Jason, you're the first one, man, so I appreciate you being our guinea pig.
It's awesome. It's good.
And to KG, Chad, I appreciate you guys. And to all the listeners, you know, I used to end this podcast a certain way. I'm going to change it up a little bit too. And it's fun to hear all these things and hear all these ideas and, you know, to hear from people who've done it on the different – you know, the different ways to think about how you maybe want to exit your business or not exit your business and the things that you can do and what matters to, you know, to Tommy doesn't necessarily have to matter to Jason or to Ken or to Chad or to me. It's what matters to us and what we want to do with it. And no matter what it is, you know, if you're going to bring on another trade, you know, if you want to stay in it, you want to continue to build something that sounded really important to Jason was he had so many people retire, which is a pretty cool thing to have. At Rhino, I only had a couple of people actually retire, but thankfully one of them was my mother. So that was a pretty awesome thing to give her. And that meant a lot to me. it also meant a lot to me to help, you know, some of these employees, give them transaction bonuses along the way because they earned it. And I enjoyed all those things. So but whatever it is, you know, I hear this way too often, you know, because you guys heard the term, you know, talk is cheap, but, you know, a goal without a plan is, you know, just a dream. And so one of the things I would always say to our employees, and I still will say in conversations I used to have on my walls was, you know, you can talk all this stuff, but, you know, don't talk about it. You got to be about it. You can't just talk about it. You actually got to do something with it. And something is better than doing nothing because perfection, you know, will kill progress. I think we all know that. So to the listeners, to our friends also in the VIP room, we'll see you back here next week with us in the new To the Point Home Services VIP room. And to all you on this call with us, Jason, appreciate you being that guinea pig brother. Ken and Chad, we'll see if we can't even get this thing dialed in better next time around. So until then, we'll see ya.